Welcome back to the daily OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Sheni, the third day of the month of Tishrei. I hope that each of you had a wonderful and meaningful Yom Tov, Gemar Chasima Tova. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce my dear friend and colleague, Rabbi Phil Karish, who has hosted this program in the past, as recently as last week. He is the Midwest Regional Director of the Orthodox Union, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Karish slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishnah Berach L'Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Karish to learn a little bit about the incredible work that he does for the OU on behalf of the Jewish community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Karish.
Thank you very much, Rav Naftali. I appreciate your introduction, and I appreciate you in general, this avoda that you've been doing, this call for the last however many months since the beginning of March. You have been mezakeh the rabbim with literally millions of psukim, of prakim, of tehillim in that time. And I hope that for you and for your family, it is a tremendous chus, a merit to navigate these yamim noraim and the aseres yimei tshuva with all of the health and healing and bracha, both for you, for your family, and for the world around us who are in desperate need of it. I wanted to just kind of share one idea, a carpe diem of sorts. We stand bein kesel le'asor. We stand between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This is a time where we try to get out of bed a little earlier or stay up late at night and say some slichos. We try to be a little bit more focused, a little bit more calculating in our decisions. And as we read in the liturgy of the Machzor, both on Shabbos and yesterday, we have the haunting words of Uv'Rosh Hashanah Yikasevun, Uv'Yom Tzom Kippur Yechasemun, that on Rosh Hashanah our year has been written, but on Yom Kippur, then it gets signed. And I wanted to share with you something that the Rav of our shul shared here in Chicago. I daven in a shul called Beit Medrash Mekor HaChaim. The Rav of our shul, we have two Rabbanim actually. This Rav who spoke, Rabbi Yaakov Robinson, a long-standing Chicagoan, a family friend, someone who I grew up with, is the Rav of our shul. And he shared on behalf of a Chassidish Rebbe a beautiful mashal that I wanted to share with you, one that I hope will inspire and empower us not only to earn a good chasima, a gmar chasima tova, but as well to influence the Jewish people in a meaningful way. He shared the following story. The Chassidish Rebbe points out that there was a father who had two sons. One of his sons was very wealthy. The other was a pauper, really had almost nothing to his name. He reached out to his two boys and he said, "In a few days, I'd like you both to please come for dinner to my house. Any money that you spend in my honor, I will reimburse you manyfold. So deck yourselves out, custom suits, whatever you're going to do. Buy the wives some jewelry and buy the kids some new clothes, whatever it's going to be. Anything you spend in my honor, I will pay you back manyfold." So each son decides to do as they can within their means. The older son, who is of tremendous means, he buys himself a new custom suit, expensive shoes, the perfect shirt and tie, cufflinks. He buys his wife a beautiful dress, expensive jewelry, the nicest of shoes. And they pull up to the event in a stretch limo, and they spend $25,000 on the preparation for this beautiful dinner in honor of the father. Unfortunately, the younger brother, who really wasn't of means, he only had a few dollars to his name. The best he could do was polish the wife's jewelry. He could buy himself a cheap tie at a thrift store, just a few dollars. And they pulled up in an old, decrepit, falling apart car because that's what they had. Okay, the night comes. Both sons walk in, looking as they do, as nicely as they could have put themselves together, and they have a beautiful meal. So after the meal, the older son, who certainly, extended his bank account a little bit, he said, "Listen, Dad, You know, you said that any money that I spend is going to be earned back manyfold. So it's time to pull out the old checkbook and just reimburse me. And with narrow, beady eyes, the father looks at that older son and says, you don't get a single penny. Nothing. I told you that if you wanted this, it had to be in my honor. I'm going to reimburse you if it's in my honor. But I know that you didn't do it for my honor. Because if you did, your brother would have been in the car with you. And he would have been wearing the same clothes as you. And his wife would have been dressed like your wife and his kids like your kids. But you didn't look at your brother through that lens. You looked at your own self through that lens. And you look beautiful. And I appreciate what you've done to dress up, but you can't yet say that it's totally in my honor. Such a powerful idea. He did not write the son a check. The younger son was reimbursed manyfold over for the small amounts of money that he invested. But this is an idea where we have an opportunity here today and really everywhere we go to be a shining light to people who don't yet sit at a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shabbos table. You don't have to be a Kiruv professional. You don't have to be trained in regards to the positive influence of other people. But as we walk into Yom Kippur, one way to earn a zechus, to earn a merit, to earn that badge of we did this for Hashem's honor is when we not only look at our own weaknesses and frailties and try to improve, but when we also look to our right and to our left, to our brothers and our sisters who may not have had the education, the exposure to the beautiful and authentic and tremendous Torah values that we have. They may just have not have learned about them in a meaningful way like some of us may have, but we can influence that. And again, how do you do that when you're not a trained professional? So as they say in Yiddish, you have to be an Erlich Yid. You have to just be kind and warm and sincere and show them that the Torah is beautiful, not by preaching it, not in a militant form. Calm, beautiful, the Torah is amazing. When we have as our guidepost in the Torah, Rabbi Akiva's dictum, the pasuk that he says is Klal Gadol Torah Ve'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, the famous story of the Ger that approached Hillel, the famous story in the Gemara, Hillel said just one thing. If there's something that your friend doesn't like, don't do it. Don't do it. Just be kind, be thoughtful. And in that way, we'll have the capacity to influence other people toward their capacity, one day at a time, one mitzvah at a time, one step at a time. We don't hold others to our own backdrop. We only hold them accountable to where they were yesterday and where they can be tomorrow. Mirz Hashem, as we stand here during the Aser Simei Tshuva, we can be a walking and talking Kiddush Hashem to those around us, be it at work, be it at shul, be it in the store, wherever we are. We always have a remarkable opportunity to influence other people to the positive. And hopefully we'll have the zechus, the merit, to not only show Hashem that we care about our brothers and our sisters, but also to bring them back to Hashem's Shabbos table. What could be more powerful? What could be more meaningful? We'll now start with the four prakim. The first parak is parak kaf. That's parak 20. Lam natzeach mizmor leDavid. Yancha Adonai biyom tzara. Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov. Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh. Umitzion yisadeka. Yizkor kol minchosecha ve'olasecha yidashen esela yitein lecha chilvavecha v'chol atasecha yemalei nirana nabi shuasecha uvshem Eloheinu nidgol yemalei Adonai kol nishalosecha. Ato yodati ki hoshia Adonai Meshicho, ya'anehu mishemei kocho, bigvuros yesha yimino. Eilev arechev ve'eilev asusim, va'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir. Heima kareu v'nafalu, va'anachnu kamnu v'nisodad. Adonai Hoshia, HaMelech Ya'aneinu V'yom Kareinu. The next chapter is chapter 23, Perek Kaf Gimel. Mizmor le David, Adonai ro'i lo echtar. Binot deshe yarbitseini, almei menuchos yinahaleini. Nafshi eshovev yancheini, v'magilei tzedek l'man shemo. Gam ki eilech begeit al maves, lo irara ki ato yimadi, shiftecha mishantecha, heimo yinamuni. Taroch lefanai shulchan neged zorerai, tishanta vashemen roshi kosi revaya. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayoi, v'shavti b'veis Adonai li'orech yamim. The next perek, the next chapter is 121, perek Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir lama'alos, esa einai al heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri, ezri me'im Adonai. Osei shamayim va'oret, al yitein lamod raglecha, al yanum shomerecha, hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yeminecha. Yomam HaShemesh lo yakeka, v'yoreach b'loila. Adonai yishmorecha mikol ra, yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitzecha uvo'echa, me'ata v'yad olam. The final chapter, chapter 130. Perek Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alos mima'amakim kirosicha Adonai. Adonai shim'a v'koli tihyanoz necha kashuvos l'kol tachanunoi. Im avonos tishmor yah Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imecha hatzelicha leman tivarei. Yivisi Adonai ki vesa nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed, v'harbe imo fedus. V'hu yivtes Yisrael, mikol avonosav. We'll now say a Mishaberach for Cholin, and I'll pause so you can enter the names for those who are in need of healing. Mishaberach avoseinu Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe ve'aharon David u'shlamo, u'yivarech v'yirapeh et ha'cholim. Ba'avur shanam yispalalim ba'avuram, b'yitzchazeh ha'kadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem, la'achalimam ul'rapotam ul'hachazikam ul'hachayosam. Vishlach lahem mehera refuah shleimah min hashamayim l'chol evareihem u'chol gideihem b'soch sh'ar cholei Yisrael refuah tanefesh refuah taguf hashtar ba'agalo v'zman kariv nomar amein. Concluding with Achenu. Achenu kol beis Yisrael hanitzunim batzaro u'bashivya ha'omedim bein bayam u'bein bayabasha. Amakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela le'ora u'mishibudigula hashta ba'agalo v'zman kariv v'nomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Karish. I know that most of our callers and listeners would greatly appreciate the speed at which you read the Tehillim as we numerously receive requests for it to be on the slower end. So thank you for going through it slowly.
My pleasure.
So this should be a fun interview. Be two friends, two colleagues on a call, and let everyone else listen in as we schmooze, as we do regularly every day as we spend time speaking about the OU. But we'll let this be a kind of behind the scenes, if you will, behind the parochas of some of the operations of how the things we've been doing at the OU, especially over the past 6 months since COVID began, including this Tehillim call, which began in mid-March and part of a task force that you and I serve on. But before we get into that, we've had the great opportunity of working together for the last few years at the OU. If you could give us a little bit of a background on you, both personally as well as professionally, and then we'll launch in for a couple of minutes before concluding today's call.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. For the past 20 plus years, I have been involved in Jewish education in a variety of capacities, more formally in a classroom here at my alma mater day school, Hillel Torah North Suburban Day School. I was a Rebbe for the same grades in which I graduated from in 7th and 8th grade, teaching Gemara, Navi, and Halacha, and Chumash to 7th and 8th graders here in town. And from there, I moved into the world of NCSY. At that time, Rabbi Micha Greenland, who is now the international director of NCSY, was the local regional director here in the Midwest, and I've known him for much of my life. We've crossed paths quite a bit here in Chicago, and I began to work for him. And for approximately 9 years, I worked as the education director in Midwest NCSY, helping to write material for Shabbatones and running Shabbatones and trying to do my part in regards to impact. And then about 3 years ago, I got a phone call from our current leader of our department, Rabbi Azir Pozi, who asked me if I wanted to join the Synagogue Services Team, the OU's Department of Synagogue and Communal Services, where we have the privilege of working with a number of other like-minded colleagues, is an opportunity to focus regionally on shuls and on communities with the grand aspiration of helping the Jewish community at large to grow. And we do that, of course, by working with shuls and by working with communities and community leaders, lay leaders and rabbis in an effort to increase the growth of Torah and mitzvot within the wider Jewish community. So that's a brief history of my workings in the last couple of decades. I would just add, I know that not everybody gets to hear this from the inside, but the opportunities that we have here at the OU to play a role is a true privilege and a true honor, and I look forward to many decades continuing to work together both at the OU and with you.
Amen. I echo the same sentiment. So let's zone in a little bit on the past 6 months. Probably people want to talk about anything other than COVID, but I think that these have been unique for us in that we've worked hand-in-hand in a number of programs, and one of the, one of those first phone calls as shuls were starting to shut down around the country was we convened a task force with then the incoming executive director, executive vice president, Rabbi Moshe Hauer, who well before he was on the job was already working full-time for the OU. And one of the ideas as we tried it to kind of strategize as what's the community going to need? What does the community need today? And what is the community going to need in 1 month from now? As we were just coming out of Purim and we had our eyes on Pesach, thinking about Shavuos. And even at the time, even though it seemed so far away, who could imagine that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur were not going to all be back to normal? But these were things that were part of our conversations as we continue even now to be strategizing and doing some planning for the future, for whatever it might be, whether we're back in some type of normal world, a new normal, or we continue to operate in the same type of arena that we're in right now. And one of the things that came out of that phone call was, as many shuls and national organizations were doing at the time, was a Tehillim phone call. We need to convene people together. We need to daven for those in need, for the entire community. And you were a big help, and especially on the back end in terms of the technology. You and many of the other regional directors around the country are very helpful in helping identifying rabbis around the country for us to have and feature on the program. And the call itself has evolved over the past 6 months. And that's just one of the many workings that came out of that original task force. But there have been many more. You know, if you can maybe shed a little bit of light on some of the things that that you've been focused on.
Sure. I would say about 3 months ago, Rabbi Moshe Hauer began to focus in on some of the mental health needs of the wider community. You know, this is a new territory, you know, to try to figure out what the needs are of the Jewish people on a mental health front. The OU itself is not a mental health organization per se. So we actually engaged Mrs. Debbie Fox, a very well-known name out of Los Angeles, a remarkable clinical therapist. And we reached out to her and said, Mrs. Fox, can you help us identify what the mental health needs are for the community? We as the OU would love to try and play a meaningful role here if we can. And at that time, what Mrs. Fox and Rabbi Hauer did with the help of others was ran some focus groups about what some of the needs are, speaking with shul rabbis, speaking with shul rebbetzins, community leaders, speaking with therapists, trying to figure out what are the primary challenges that were happening in the wider community. And the research that they had done yielded what we now call Project Resilience. Project Resilience was a live Zoom-based program, and it's now living on demand at ou.org/resilience, and it covers six topics of resilience itself, living in the age of anxiety. We have two different courses on marriage. One is general, making a marriage work, and the other is specific to COVID. We had two different parenting courses, one which was specific to teens, and the other, which was more general and global, each with remarkable experts in their own right. And this program ran for basically from a month beginning of August to the beginning of September. We had 1,300 people signed up for the program, and there are a lot of people still watching online in the on-demand form. So that kind of took over. That was a project that I ran for a month in advance of that and then throughout as well. So this is the opportunity that we have within this task force, within the OU, to try and do our part and ask the global question, what can we do to help the Jewish people? And with Rabbi Hauer at the helm and now Rabbi Dr. Josh Joseph joining him, we have that leadership and we have that big push to say, okay, let's see if we can help the community. So even now, after Project Resilience is over, the resources are still there and online. We're going to be making a concerted effort to share that with rabbis and with communities and with therapists and with anyone who may find it meaningful, because I think what we can all agree to, wherever we are within the spectrum of the world of COVID, is that these times are very complicated. And to say that it's anxiety-inducing is presumably an understatement. So that was one major project that I worked on, a number of other projects as well with you, a program that was run many months ago that you spearheaded with Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, where over 250,000 people participated and visited and watched that video. That was another project of the task force. So thank God there have really been a lot of different opportunities that we've had to try and do our part, to try and play a role in helping the wider Jewish community. Project Resilience is but one of those examples.
Certainly so, and we definitely look forward to what's going to come out in the future. I know you're working behind the scenes on a number of projects, and we certainly look forward to seeing those work themselves into fruition. Rabbi Karadish, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a little bit of a background of the work that you do for the OU, as they are with all Klal Yisrael of the entire world. And our thoughts and our tefillot with you and your family for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova. And may the Rabboni Sholom, the master of the world, speedily bring an end these days of the concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Avigdor Slatis of Congregation B'nai B'rith Jacob in Savannah, Georgia. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.